actually, it's only the throat that we can't celebrate with. We can continue to praise God with our hearts and minds, no matter where we are or how we are otherwise kept from singing the Lord's praises. For it is within the heart that all praise and thanks originates. It is within the heart that the life of God is truly lived. And perhaps that's the insight we need to understand exactly what Jesus is speaking to us about in today's gospel lesson. We are so familiar with it. It is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus is gathering the crowds around him, he turns to them and he begins to teach them. And he gives these beatitudes, as they're called, beatitudes. The word beatitude means blessed, and variously translated from the scriptures, simply means happy. Happy not because someone has done something nice for us, not that kind of happy, but the happiness which betrays an inner contentment deep within the heart, that we can rest assured in the confidence and in the hope of what is promised to us. And so we hear Jesus say some strange things. They would be very strange to the people of his day, because the people he chooses in these beatitudes would not be seen by the people of the day to be truly blessed. Because in fact, in the religious understanding of his time, the grace of God, the beneficence of God was to be seen in your physical life. But somehow, if you were poor, there was something wrong. Perhaps you were not right with the Lord. If you were ill, something was wrong. Perhaps you were not right with the Lord. If for some reason you were constantly sad and distressed, something was not right. You were not right with the Lord. And we could go on and on. And this would be the attitude that was taken popularly. And so it is a strange teaching that Jesus puts forward. That those who are poor, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst, those who themselves are merciful to others, those that are pure in heart, all of these will be blessed, all of these will be happy, all of these will find an inner contentment. Perhaps that's Matthew's understanding, because he takes these words of Jesus and he adds to them just a wee bit. For rather than simply being poor, he adds poor in spirit. Rather than simply being humble, he talks about meekness, which is a sort of shrinking away from dealing with others. And those who hunger and thirst, not for bread, but for righteousness. Because these are all matters of the heart. This gospel lesson is chosen and appointed for this day, for our celebrating this All Saints Day, because it is, after all, sort of a picture. A picture of what the kingdom of God is like. For many, many weeks, for months now, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. We've heard the stories and the parables of Jesus. We've heard the teachings of Jesus when he pokes at the religious leaders of his day so that they might begin to get it right in his mind. We've heard all of that, and now we've returned to the very beginning. We've gone back to how Jesus started it all. So these beatitudes now take on just a little different flavor for us, or they should. This reading is appointed for this All Saints Day because these are the attitudes of the saints. What we are really seeing here is not a picture of humanity. truly be part of the kingdom of God, so indeed these are the characteristics that would complement our life. If we see these things in our life and others see them, we will actually be showing forth the kingdom of God. Oh, that it were so. For example, Jesus doesn't say that those who follow him will not mourn. No, it's part of our human nature. But rather, he says, they will inherit the earth. They will have everything that they need. And their mourning will turn to joy. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness in the kingdom of God, they will be filled. For in the kingdom of God, there is only God's righteousness. And so that we would be part of the kingdom, it would be filling our hearts, our lives. And there's always that quid pro quo that Jesus puts into just about everything. When he says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Having just prayed the Lord's Prayer, we are so familiar with the words, forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sins, as we forgive the sins of others. And happy are the pure in heart. In this way, purity of heart is not that there is not a taint of maybe a worldly thought, no, but rather that we are single-minded about God. Single-minded in how we live and how we work and how we speak. That in the kingdom of God isn't something we think about only when we come together to worship or to study. But rather it is the constant occupation of our minds, 24/7. That every decision, every word, every action we take somehow builds the kingdom of God. Peacemakers. Who among us does not want peace, an absence of conflict? But indeed, peace is more than that. It is making things whole again. It is putting things aright as they were originally intended in the mind of God when God made us out of nothing. This is what peacemakers do. They don't keep warring factions apart from one another, but rather they bring them together. They make new alliances. They put down their differences. And they make things whole again. And Jesus, ever the practical one, realizes that none of this will be acceptable in the eyes of the world. None of it, really. And so those who really seek to live the kingdom of God in their daily lives, day in and day out, moment by moment, hour by hour, they will not be popular. They will be persecuted and shunned by the people of the world, who judge by the standards and the values of the world, because the world, in that sense, has no place in the kingdom of God. And they want nothing of God's kingdom in their world, truth. No. This is a picture of God. This is a picture kingdom. This is a picture where we live if we truly seek to follow in the way of Jesus. For it is only in that way that we can be counted among the saints of God. We celebrate those today who have gone before us and have set such an example that we, in emulating them, may find a true path. And this evening, again, we'll remember those who have not been held up as examples officially of the church, but whom we know in our heart of hearts followed listed in any canon, in any list, in any official book. They are saints nonetheless. And they have taught us. They have given us life. They have shown us the way of love. So as we gather this day with a modest celebrity, a modest kind of celebrating a great feast day, let us take it more to our hearts. Let us resolve that we too want to follow in the way of Jesus so closely that the kingdom of God will be seen by others in us, and that we, by that reckoning, will be accounted saints of God. Saints of God alive in the world. Saints of God ready and willing to show others the way of Jesus. The way of love. If we do but this, we will have done all that we have been called to do. Maybe it doesn't sound like a lot, but it involves every element of our lives. And so it is that today we celebrate those who have made their way into God's company as we ourselves continue that same journey.